Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. Today, it is my joy to share verses with you and an encouragement from the scripture about thanksgiving and how it is that God calls us to thanksgiving. That is, that God calls us to gratitude and recognition of the blessings and good that He has brought to us. And so when it is that we return to God thankfulness, when we are truly thankful in our hearts, then we recognize and we receive the good that God has brought to us, and we mindfully and from our hearts return to Him a gratitude. That is, we are contented and satisfied with God and with His gracious provision for us in the circumstances that we are experiencing. And so gratitude means that we are thankful for who God is and for what He has brought to pass in our lives. And it's interesting, as we look at Scripture, that we find that many times God calls us to be thankful for all things. We are often more thankful for what we perceive to be good things, but God calls us to be thankful for all things that come to pass in our lives. So that even humanly speaking, we should be thankful to God for the great difficulties and even very painful circumstances of our lives. We are to thank Him for all things. And as we consider from the scripture the truth that God indeed plans all things for good in a believer's life, and that He will bring good to us through even painful circumstances, then we are helped to understand how it is that we should respond to God's gracious provision with thanksgiving in all things. And so, my friends, turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 12, and we'll soon read verses there. I want to read a rather large section of verses today because it's my hope that the very Word of God itself will be a wonderful blessing to your heart. How we need the Word of God. And so my hope is to bless you with many scriptures from Nehemiah 12 today. And so it is that God will then honor His Word in your life. I hope as you trust Him, indeed you will find the blessing that God intends. And so, my friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful. Thank you, Lord, for the circumstances of our lives today. Lord, thank you that though there is distress and pain and difficulty, perhaps severe trouble today, that yet you are God and you are true to your people. And that in all of these circumstances, perhaps especially in the most difficult ones, Lord, you are working to bring much good to us. And so we thank you. Thank you for who you are, the great and awesome and living God. And thank you for what you do for us, Lord, for the good that you bring to us, that you order all events in your wonderful sovereignty for our good. And so we pray, our Father, that you would bless your word to our hearts once again today, this Lord's Day, and that you would then bring much good to the hearts of your people. We pray for the salvation of all who are hearing today. We pray for the edification of those who are true Christians who are listening today. And we thank you for the tender mercy from on high. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for His awesome work, our God and Savior, and that He has saved us from our sins. And so we glorify you, Father, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. And so, my friends, let me begin reading in Nehemiah chapter 12 at verse 27. This is the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places, to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from the house of Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. After them went Hoshaiah and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priests' sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zachar, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah, Azrael, Melali, Gilali, Maiah, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra the scribe went before them. By the fountain gate in front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David, on the stairway of the wall, beyond the house of David, as far as the water gate eastward. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, the tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Likewise, I and half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Minjamim, Micaiah, Elonai, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with trumpets. Also, Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehohanan, Malchijah, Elam, and Ezer. The singers sang loudly with Jezrahiah, the director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the word of God. That's Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 through 43. And so, my friends, this is a great biblical story, a great picture for us of thankfulness to the Lord God Almighty for his gracious provision and blessing. And we find in the context of Nehemiah chapter 12, the story, the most remarkable story, of how it is that Jews came out of captivity. They had been taken to Babylon decades before, and then God, in his gracious care for them, released some of the captives, and they went back to Jerusalem, which was in ruins, and they began this work of building again the city of Jerusalem. And so it is that Nehemiah is one of the leaders involved in the great work of building the wall, which served as a great protection around the city of Jerusalem. And eventually the city would be restored and the temple would be rebuilt. The city had been destroyed in God's judgment as the Babylonians had come against the Jews and destroyed their city and killed many of them and taken some of them into captivity to Babylon. And so the great mercy of God was experienced by the Jews in Jerusalem, and they rejoiced greatly with loud joy and singing because God had done this great and merciful work. That is, that God had begun restoring the city which had been destroyed for its sins. This was a great indication to the people that their God, the true and living God, the God of the universe, had not completely forsaken them, and that he was going to bring them back again into their own homeland, into their very city, and once again bring grace and blessing to them. And we find here that the people are so full of joy at this good news of God's deliverance, of God's presence, of God's intention to bring good and grace to them, that they express their thanksgiving in this way. They form two large thanksgiving choirs. That is, choirs singing thankful praises to God. And there are musical instruments involved here, cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. And these two choirs march on the city wall in opposite directions, thanking the God of the universe for his love and care for the people, for this great deliverance from captivity, and for the hope, the great hope they had for the future, that God himself, the ever-blessed God, would bless them. And so some of the leaders are identified by name here. And as the choir circles the city going in opposite directions, they meet again and they come to the house of God and they stand in the house of God. What was the remains of the house of God at that time? And they sang loudly. They had a choir director. His name is Jezrahiah. And so it is that the people then made sacrifices and rejoiced. And part of their sacrifice was this giving of thanksgiving to God. They probably also sacrificed animals. That was the commandment of Moses to the Jews. And so it is, though, that they sacrifice the song of praise to God. They rejoice in God, which is also an expression of thanksgiving, because they see the good and they are experiencing the good of the awesome God. They have recognized his blessing. They have recognized all the good that he is bringing to them. And their response is to respond in this powerful way with joyful singing, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of the lips, thanking the living God. Amen. And so, my friends, we find in the book of 1 Chronicles 25, verse 3, another reference here to thanksgiving being made in music, which is offered up to God. It says here, of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerah, Jeshahiah, Shemaiah, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah, six, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and praise to the Lord. We find here that these individuals are now involved in, again, the singing of praises to God in accompaniment with the harp. It's called prophesying there, this act of singing thankful songs to God, of rejoicing and thanking God for his goodness. We also find, my friends, in the Psalms, many, many verses in which thanks to God is expressed, that God called the people to be thankful to him, and this is the right and sensible response to the blessings of God, to the good that has come to us. We should be thankful and practice thankfulness, and we should often return thanks to God for his blessings and the good he has brought to us. We find in Psalm 18, verse 49, that the Bible says, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Here it is, the psalmist is thanking God and remembering how it is that the sovereign Lord has brought great victories and many, many deliverances to the people. And so because of God's goodness, because of this ability to deliver and the fact of his deliverance, David cries out that he will sing and give thanks to God, praise the word, praise the name of the Lord. In Psalm 30, verse 4, we see that the word of God says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Here, we remember the holy name of God, that is, the holy character Many times the name refers to a characteristic. Here, his holiness is being spoken of. Remember the holy name, that our God is holy in his character. And remember the name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And upon remembrance, thank him for who he is. Yes, Father, we do thank you this morning for who you are, the great and living, wonderful and glorious Savior that you are. That you are our God and Savior, the Savior of your people, those who trust in you and turn from their sin and come to truly love you and worship you in obedience. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 75, verse 1, the Word of God reveals this by Asaph, a psalmist. O God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Actually, I'm sorry, that's Psalm 74, verse 1. But we find here in Psalm 74 that Asaph remembers the mighty difficulties, the awesome judgment of God upon the people, that it is a fit judgment. And Asaph, interestingly, calls upon God to turn in his judgment upon the enemies of Israel and to end these difficulties. But we find now in Psalm 75, another psalm of Asaph, and in this psalm, he begins after Psalm 74, and we must remark this morning that these psalms are connected in their order. That is, one precedes another, and that is by the ordering of the Spirit, and many times some of these psalms are ordered and united in such a way that they are really, in the original language, a continuation of the same psalm. In our modern Bibles, these two psalms are divided and distinct, but the same writer, in calling upon God to deliver them, in remarking upon the great difficulties, and in calling upon God to judge the enemies of the people, now responds in the first verse of Psalm 75 with thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. And so once again, the name of God, there is a representation, if you will, of the great character of God. This mighty name of the living God refers to his identity. The true and living God, the God of deliverance, is thanked, and the thanks is repeated twice in Scripture. This repetition is really for emphasis. It's a double thankfulness to express this great and sincere and deep gratitude in the heart for the goodness of God that he has brought to pass. And then we turn to the New Testament, and we find there, my friends, in the book of 2 Corinthians, a few verses that deal with thanksgiving. And so let me turn there, 2 Corinthians, and we're going to begin in chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you are able to turn with me in your Bible, please do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul writes, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." That's also verse 15. Paul thanks God for this reason. In his great delivering power, God always leads believers in triumph. We spoke about that last Lord's Day. And then we find in 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9, another reference to thankfulness in verse 12. Paul again writes, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God." Verse 13, "While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel and for your liberal sharing with them and all men." And so it is that Verse 14 says, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now here, Paul is saying simply that Christians had given for the needs of other Christians. And so it is that they had given liberally and they had abounded in their gift, that they gave God glory for those who had given to them, and they were abounding through many thanksgivings. Those who received the gift were thankful because of this liberal sharing. They thanked God that he gave through the Christians who gave, and so it is that the people who gave were blessed. They were prayed for, they were loved by those who received their gift. The people who received the gift thanked God for his gift through those who had given, that there was this great and overflowing thanksgiving because of the gift of love that was given and shown in this gift to needy Christians. We remember that Luke 17 in verses 12 through 19 tell us about the story of when Jesus healed, but one returned to give thanks to Jesus. And Jesus remarks upon that, how it is that only one of the 10 responded to this great blessing, this great good that God brought to them, and gave thanks. And so we have this great encouragement, my friends, that we too are to abound in thanksgiving for all things. And let me encourage you as we look at one more verse today, and that's in Revelation chapter 7. I'm turning there. Let me encourage you that this is, again, something that we must remember often. It's a clear directive. It's a commandment of God to give thanks in all things. It involves the real spiritual awareness of the mighty working of God in our lives. This is really something that we should do daily and throughout the day. We should return thanksgiving to God many, many times because we are receiving from him only grace and love. We who are in Christ are receiving no judgment from God. If we sin, our good Father will chastise us, but that is a blessing from God. God is responding to us in saving grace and bringing only good to us, you see. And so we must thank him often. Indeed, it is good for us to be very thankful people, even to thank others often. Many times we find in the world that good comes to someone, often in a self-sacrificial way on the part of the giver, but there is many times a lack of thanksgiving returned. We find this to be discouraging at times, but we must recognize that thanksgiving is the correct response to the good that men show us, and thanksgiving is the correct response, surely, to our great God who has saved us. Let's begin in Revelation 7, verse 11. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And so the song of praise in heaven, the song sung by the angels and the elders and the seraphim and the cherubim, is one of thanksgiving. Indeed, the song of the saints is precious thanksgiving to God the Savior. I want to end our time this morning by sharing some quotes with you by Puritan Christians, and I believe these are really helpful for us to again consider that God calls us to thanksgiving. William Law writes, to be always in a thankful state of heart before God is not to be considered a high plane of spirituality, but rather the normal attitude of one who believes that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And so, my friends, we must teach our children to be thankful for the good that comes to them from our hands as parents and from the hands of all people, but especially to be thankful to God who brings much good to them. A.W. Pink writes, "Yes, give thanks for all things, for as it has been well said, our disappointments are but God's appointments." Joseph Hall writes, "For every bad, there might be a worse. When one breaks his leg, let him be thankful it was not his neck." Matthew Henry writes, "I thank God first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse and they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and it was not I who robbed." Thomas Brooks writes, "He that has deserved hanging may be glad to escape with a whipping." Now that brings to mind the wonderful fact that the truth that Jesus died for our sins. He who deserved no punishment took our punishment voluntarily upon himself to save us from God's punishment. And so we must always, constantly, continually thank God for the cross. That is, that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sins so that we are justified. Samuel Rutherford wrote, "Let your children be as so many flowers borrowed from God. If the flowers die or wither, thank God for a summer loan of them." Samuel Rutherford was a persecuted Christian. He spent time in prison for the faith. So Samuel Rutherford writes that even if we lose our children, we must thank God for the time he gave them to us. We see a thankful heart expressed in that. We find that gratitude to God makes even a temporal blessing a taste of heaven. That is, that we can thank God for any good that he brings to us materially because we have just a bit of a taste of heaven in that. And finally, William Law encourages us, "The greatest saint in the world is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives alms or is eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. It is he who is most thankful to God." Amen. Father, we are thankful for this encouragement and reminder today. You have done us only good, Lord. You have brought only good and blessing through the painful death, the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood shedding and his agonies. And we thank you for this good that we experience and enjoy today. And we thank you for all the good that you've brought us today and all days. We bless you, Lord, and we offer the sacrifice of praise. You are worthy. You are awesome. You are wonderful. You are loved. And we thank you for this sermon today too, Lord. Bless it to my listeners' hearts and lead them in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.